Amen, amen. Good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is good. And we want to say good morning to those who are in our internet audience, our virtual audience, our online audience, all over the city of Houston, the city of Dallas, a number of cities. I can't call all the names, and a number of countries. I was told that last week we had 11 countries represented on our worship service. And so I wish I could speak your language. Hopefully you can understand what we said this morning. But God is good, isn't it? Technology can be used for bad, but it certainly can be used for good. And so we are thankful to those who are behind the scenes making this happen for many. For those also, did I say good morning to everybody in here? I'm sorry. We know that many of you can't see them. We have about 15 or so in here this morning. So I'm glad I'm not in here by myself. But we are definitely trying to obey the laws that have been set forth for us here in the city of Houston. As you know, there has been an uptick in cases, coronavirus cases in our city, in our state, and they have been running rampant. And so we want to make sure we abide by the law, and we mask up. Everybody in here has their mask, and I have mine. I have mine. I'll put it on as soon as I sit back down. And you need to have yours when you go out. Don't defy. Let's protect one another. And we appreciate our elders, our shepherds, for watching out for this flock. We have not been able to assemble together as a one body in Christ, but we can assemble together virtually. And so we thank you for doing that, and we want you to obey that. And I'm telling you, within the last couple of weeks, for a while when this was going on, we knew of other people who were sick, but I know at least 30, 40 individuals that I know, that I know personally, outside our family, friends that have contacted this disease and that are either at home or on quarantine, and I'm sure the same is for you. So we need to take heed to what's going on. We need to take heed. I know some of you ready to go to heaven right now, and that's fine. But while we're here, God got a purpose for us, and we're to be wise in what God has given us this temple to use to His glory, and that's what we're gonna try to do. And so you abide. Thank you for being engaged in all of our worship services. And we had a roll call this past Wednesday, and many of the saints call in, text in, email in, and I'm worshiping online. I'm okay from all over. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate it because our shepherds, our elders are trying to keep up with everyone. So we want to know how everybody is doing and how we can minister to one another. Thank you for participating in that. And all the Bible classes that are going on, our ladies class, our young professionals class, our Bible classes after worship service at 11 o'clock, our children's classes, our marriage wisdom class, all the classes that are going on, our summer enrichment program. And so we're not asleep, and we're still trying to minister to the saints, and many of you are ministering to each other, visiting, as you can, taking food by individuals' houses who cannot cook food for them. We appreciate you doing all the good works that you're doing. But God is good. Amen. God is alive, and he's still in control. Thank you, Brother Mike, for praying for the church, praying for individuals, praying for the world. Thank you for that. That diligent prayer. Thank you for that. I miss the singing. Oh, no, have mercy. I miss the singing. I know we were singing, Brother Isaiah, you sung my song, but I miss all the saints together. Say, were you singing at home? Were you singing when Brother Isaiah was leading? I hope you were singing. I hope you up. Are you up? Wake up. We worshiping the Lord this morning. Yeah, you might well sit up. Come on, get out under those covers. Open both eyes this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. God is good. And we might as well take advantage of this. We normally out by 10 o'clock. Yeah, we might need to have a 3-hour worship service sometime. Oh, don't be quiet now. Be quiet. Don't say nothing. But I want to start a lesson series for the month of July. And I want you to stay with me. I'm entitling the series Anchors for the Soul. Anchors for the Soul. This has been on my heart. I've been studying it. And Anchors for the Soul. Some of you know what an anchor is. The word is not mentioned that often in the Bible, but when it is in the book of Hebrews, what we read, and then in the book of Acts, and we're gonna read a couple of scriptures. Listen to this passage again. As Brother Mike read in your hearing, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil as an anchor of the soul. You know, God has made us as human beings to be able to survive a lot of things in life. You know, we can survive illness, imprisonment, persecution, even deprivation. You know, we can go without food and water longer than many of us think we can, although some of us don't think we can. You know, and we can handle a lot of stress. You know, a lot of us are under stress a lot of times. But you know, that's one thing that we can't live without very long, and that's hope.
Amen.
You see, you know, we even if our finances go, you know, we can pull it together and make do with what we have. If our illness goes bad, we make the adjustments and try to live the best we can. We can be in prison and adjust and somehow make it. But when we lose hope, we soon fade away and die. It's the reason why some people kill themselves, because they don't see no way out of anything. And I wanna go to the Word of God this morning. I wanna start this series off. Let's read another passage, and I don't give you the topics I'm gonna do for this month. In Acts chapter 27, verse 29. Acts chapter 27, verse 29. Paul here, he's a prisoner. He's actually on a ship, and he's headed to Rome and to be tried. And the Bible says, fearing that we might run aground. I wish I could give a more background, but I don't have time. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks. He's on a ship. He's a prisoner. They cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. They on a ship, and storm comes. A bad storm came, and they cast four anchors. I tell you what, that four anchors on a ship is a lot of anchors.
Amen.
But so it took preparation. Maybe they've been in a storm before. They cast it on the stern. Some of you that's been in the Navy, and you know what, that's a stern would be the back of the ship. The bow would be the front of the ship. They cast these four anchors because they wanted to ensure. They prayed for daybreak, because Lord, they were trying to wish that they could make it to the daybreak. And the scripture would say in verse 30, but as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. You know, they say that anchors on most ships must weigh at least one tenth of the overall weight of the ship. I can't confirm that. Some of you may be able to confirm that. But we do know that an anchor requires preparation. It requires preparation. You can't get out on the boat and say, oh, I forgot the anchor. You got to prepare before you go out. It has to be there already. As a matter of fact, now, you know, it's hurricane season right now. It's hurricane season, and we forget, you know, we've had some bad hurricanes in our area. Can I ask a question? Are you prepared? I mean, you know, they say have a pantry full of food or make preparation. Most of us, they'll warn us when the hurricane comes. And you know what happens when the hurricane comes out? Sure enough, you look up hurricane, there's a hurricane. Everybody head to the store, a lot of long lines. Why? Because we don't prepare. I don't know. You know, anchors seem useless when they're not needed. You know, when there's no storm, who needs an anchor? But both those of us that's grown, you've been out on the sea before. Is there ever a time that the sea is so calm that we don't need an anchor? You know, even when the water is smooth on top, there are currents that run on the bottom. And if you don't put an anchor in a ship, you out fishing or doing whatever, if you don't put an anchor down, you soon might drift away. Amen, somebody? And what a blessing these anchors prove to be during times of storms. And I think we'd all agree right now that we are in a storm. We're in a storm. Yeah, I think we'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? If you don't, you need to wake up and open your eyes. I mean, you know, not just the coronavirus. You know, the world is in a storm. I mean, literally, the world is in a storm. You know now that those of us that are in America, we can't. Now the coronavirus have started in China. It spread to Brazil and all these other countries, and they were in chaos. Now you know what? We in chaos. And you know what? Now they won't let us fly over there. Lord have mercy. Oh, my goodness. But the Bible identifies, I won't say four anchors, but I know at least four anchors that are an absolute must for every person to navigate through the storms of life. Clearly identifies them. And that's what I want to focus my series on. And this is not exhaustive to include everything, but these are four anchors that I believe that every parent needs to be teaching their children. Every adult who has the right use of his mind need to understand. And these anchors are in order, because I believe while we can have all these anchors almost at the same time, they do. It is important the order that they come in. One is unfaltering faith in God and His Word. And I know this is basic fundamentals for many of us, but they are the anchors that we cannot forget, and we must hold on to them. Unwavering too. Unwavering belief in Jesus as our Savior. Number three, the hope of salvation. Number four, the safe haven of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. In that order. And I want to start with this first one, number one. Don't go to sleep on me. Unfaltering faith in God and His Word. I don't know if I'm gonna finish it, but I'll try. I was doing some reading this past week, and you know, there was a Gallup poll that was done in 2018, and it kind of surprised me a little bit, because it says that most Americans still believe in a high power. Believe in God. And I thought that was interesting. It gave the percentages from 64 to 87%. And that's a pretty high percentage, you know. But now they ask the question in different ways, and there are different degrees, and there are different levels of faith. You know, some don't know exactly who God is, but at least they believe in a high. They believe that we're not in control of everything. I thought that was good. You know, only 2.5% of Americans are atheists. Only 2.5%, but it seems like they make the most noise. And I don't know if it's because we as believers not making enough noise. But I do know this, that we as children of God, we as believers, we must have an unfaltering faith in God as the architect of the world. The architect of the world. Yes, He's in control. Even the proverb writer wrote in Proverbs 1:7, he said, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And see, that's why I say there is somewhat some chronological order to this, because if a person don't fear God, he's not going to check himself. Amen, somebody. I mean, you know, if you don't have a fear that there is, Jesus says, now, He says, it's the beginning of the month. You might not understand the Bible, but you got to know there's somebody bigger than you. Right. Amen. There's somebody who orchestrates all of this, and we can find out about Him. Jesus, I believe He said in Matthew chapter 7 and beginning at verse number 7, he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. He says, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. See, we don't know about God, but we recognize we don't have our power, we're going to start looking for God. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And so even Jesus said when he was on this earth in John 12:49, "For I did not speak on mine own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." Jesus recognized that my daddy is the architect. Your daddy is in control. Daddy is calling all the shots. Yes. The psalmist, he put it this way in Psalms 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." That's a harsh word to use the word fool. But the Bible uses it. And I wrote these notes in order so just to keep me on track. Because some of this I want to say more about. You know, the Bible says a fool says there is no God. You know why I believe the Bible said that? Because there's so much evidence for God. And only way a person would be a fool. But Gary, you calling me a fool? I don't know. I don't know who you are. I haven't called any names. I know nobody in here is a fool. But the Bible calls a fool if you don't believe in God. And you say, "Well, what if I have some doubts?" Well, we have some doubts. You need to keep seeking, because there is enough evidence to prove. Yes. You know, little children ask you, "Where is God?" They ask an innocent question, "Where is God?" And just tell them to look up in the sky, because the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. All you need to do is tell your children, look up in the stars, see the moon, see the stars, see the sun, look up in the sky. And no dad and mama, nobody on this earth can make that but God. Amen, amen somebody. Yes. And it's the fool who really says that, because they don't want to be governed by God. And when it really boils down to it, yes. Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." I hope this is not too elementary for you this morning. I hope it's not too elementary for you this morning, because we need to recognize that God is in control of this show. Amen. Is it clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Oh, my goodness. See, do you not know that when we stand before God in judgment, we won't have any excuse? I have never been to church before. You still won't have an excuse. Well, amen. Nobody didn't explain it to me clearly, but you still won't have an excuse. The question is, have we been seeking God? Have we been asking for ourselves? Some things we have to do for ourselves. Amen. Yeah, we serve a good God. Yeah, we serve a good God. Yes, he's good. Amen. Listen to the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament because in more of the passages in the Old Testament really seem like they illuminate God's character. Amen. You know, who he is. Listen to 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. You still awake? Wake up now. Wake up, drink your coffee if you need to. "For the eyes of the Lord," listen to this one, "for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." I love that passage. It says the eyes of the Lord, and God is so powerful that his eyes can see everything even at the same time. Yeah. We used to sing a song, brother. I said, you remember we used to sing a song, "The All-Seeing Eye"? Yeah, we sing that song, "The All-Seeing Eye, Watching You." It goes something like this: "All along on the road to the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake. There's an eye." You know that song? Sing it with me. "Oh, watching you. Yes, I'm watching you. Oh, watching you." Go on, sing it with me. "Every day, mind the course you pursue. Oh, watching you, watching you. Oh, watching you, oh, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye, oh, watching you." Thank you for singing that. I know you know that song. Some of you know that song. Amen. And see, in a sense, God's eye is watching us, but it's not like, you know, it's not like the substitute teacher that's in your classroom. When she come in the classroom and say, look, I got a list over here, and I'm watching you, and I'm going to write your name down and tell the teacher when you're acting bad. That's not God. It says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. I love that. And you know, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know the heart? But God knows when we're seeking him. And he knows when we're trying to do his will. And God knows our actions and our deeds and what we're doing. And he's watching. He sees our action. And he's trying to help us through this journey. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's God. He's all powerful, all knowing, all seeing. He sees us in our houses right now. He knows what we're going through right now. Amen. He hasn't disappeared. He knows what's going on. He knows what you're eating. He knows how your health is. And God is making it. We just be patient and we keep seeking him and don't give up on him and don't doubt him. God knows he's trying to support us. Amen. Whatever we're going through. You know, the ancient Greeks, they call the universe, the cosmos, a cosmos. And it's a term that characterizes order. And I just, you know, God tried to make it simple for us. He put it this way in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. It's like God said, look here, let me just let you know. God, I created the heavens and the earth. It's just like God saying, look, I'm the one you need to come to. I know everything. I know what I built. You need, first of all, you need to start with God. And you just see him go down the day. And he puts everything in order. God is not a God of chaos. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. I love order myself. Balbus was a Greek writer. And he wrote, can one behold heaven and contemplate what passes there without discerning with all possible evidence that it is governed by a supreme intelligence? Why are you hammering this? This needs to be hammered down. Because see, if you think you on this earth just to go through life and to have a career and achieve your goals and get a wife and get a husband so you can have all this for yours and you can have happiness. You think that's why you on this earth? Come on now. If that's all you wishing for and hoping for, you're gonna be highly disappointed. I know some of us achieve a measure of success. Some of us get a good job, we buy a house, and we got a car just like we want to. But you just, my daddy used to always say, son, you just keep on living. Yep. Amen. Amen. You find they can take that car from you in a heartbeat. Your house burned down. Well, your honey that used to look fine and love you to death. Well. Boy, it can change. Things can change. Amen. Not only things can change, things will change. Yeah, you get all of that and then you lose your health. You get all that money and then you can't eat nothing. Yeah. That's not why God put you here. You know, God, you know what? God is in control and God wants a relationship with us.
Amen.
Amen. The scripture said all things are from God. Yes. Yeah, who reconciled himself to us through Christ. Amen. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And see, and I know things were perfect for a little while, and Adam and Eve messed up and sin came into the world, and then sin brought death, and then not only did Adam and Eve sin, everybody sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God's been trying to get us back in a right relationship ever since then. And he still is doing it today because God ultimately wants to live with us. He wants to adopt us as his children and have us to have eternity with him. yeah, yeah. And so it is not all about you. It's not all about me by myself. My goodness. Yeah. And even an atheist, Carl Sagan, he wrote a book. And he's so-called don't believe in God. And guess what he called the book? He entitled the book Cosmos. He didn't. He should have. You know, if I'm an atheist, maybe he should have called it chaos. But he called it cosmos because he knows he recognized the beauty and the order and the awesomeness of the universe. And you know, cosmos does not come out of chaos. It comes out of a superior mind, a superior being that put it all together. And he is the one that we all should be seeking after. Yes, 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 yes. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. I already see I'm not going to finish this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is just the first lesson. We unfaltering faith in God. And I had, and his word. That's a double. And his word. God and his word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We're still talking about God. You all right? All right? You still up? For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried. Or the scriptures say, do not be anxious about your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more? See, you know, we sometimes, I know we got to have food to eat. We got to have clothes to wear. But some of us worry too much about this stuff. And we just all our thoughts is, I need to make some more money. And I need to have this. And I need to be able to fix my house and buy clothes. And Jesus, he tries to put it in perspective. And he says, hold up, wait a minute. See, the word anxious is a term. It suggests to not the idea of to don't keep on worrying, because you know in life we have some worries. Yeah, we do. We have some worries. We have some concerns, and even this passage, it does acknowledge that there is some anxiety, and it comes to mind. Sometimes we worry about that, but the scripture is telling us, don't keep on worrying about these minor things in life. Well, we see in 2 Corinthians 11 where Paul he was concerned. He was concerned about the activities that were going on in church. So he had some concerns about him. But God says, don't become enslaved by the worries of the world. Why, Brother Gary? Because God got it. God is in control, and he wants us to, and this is the same path. We're in Matthew. It's the same text, the same context where Jesus says, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, seek me first. You got to trust me. And it takes faith to do that. And we have to have unfaltering faith. Do you trust God this morning? Amen. Yeah. Do you think God going to bring us out of this? Amen. Yeah, I mean, you know, do you think God is going to put food on the table and Can I ask a question? If you're listening right now, have you had food on the table? Amen. Yeah. You see, you don't need but one set of clothes to wear right now anyway. Amen. Amen. Some of you in your pajamas right now, you all right. You don't need a suit. You don't even need a haircut right now. Some of you, man, I got to see my barber. Your boss. And I've been seeing on Facebook and then these brothers got these beards working. Wearing these long beards. Go wear your wee beard, brother. As long as your wife can put up with it. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we worry about toothpaste and shower. I mean, all kinds of things. I mean, we spending too much energy. Yeah, worrying about the wrong thing. Lord have mercy. Do we have unfaltering faith that God is still in control? Amen. I know you're not putting your trust in the government. Some people say, well, okay, you need to say something about President Trump. No, I don't need to say anything about President Trump. No, I don't say anything about President Trump. President Trump, he's not going to do no more than God let him do. Amen. 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 And everything President Trump doing right now, it really don't surprise me at this point. He ain't just started. So what we can do is pray for him. Everybody up there, amen. Yeah, you. I see you. You talking about prayer? I bet you like when you got that stimulus check, didn't you? Oh, we're not talking politics. We're talking God. Amen. I hope that sticks. I hope your children are listening right now. Because you need to put, they need to receive. Children, are you listening right now? I hope you are this morning. You need to know that mom and daddy can't do everything. Amen. See, your mom and dad might not, you might outlive your mom and dad, and you can't depend on your mom and dad for everything, but you can depend on God. Amen. He'll sustain us. And I don't want to oversimplify it because there are things we go through in life that we don't understand what's going on, but the scripture tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who call according to his purpose. But see, you have to prepare that for that before the storm comes. You can't just all of a sudden when your mama die, when your daddy die, when you lose your job, when you lose your health, you say, oh God, I need you. You need to be seeking God while you can. Amen. Before you go through the storm, the anchor needs to be there before you get in the storm. This is an anchor for the soul. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I got a few more minutes. So I'm going to try to dabble into this, his word, God and his word. Because you can't know about God if you don't know his word. Amen. And Paul, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture. Scripture is important to God. It's important to God, even in the Old Testament. He took Moses, he took Moses on Mount Sinai beginning in Exodus chapter 20, chapter 18, 19, 20, took him on the mountain, and the scripture says that the tablets were wrote with the finger of God. He put the words into physical shape on those tablets, and he gave those tablets to Moses to read to the people. So if you don't like to read, you need to get somebody to read to you. Because you can't know about God. See, God is not coming to us like he went to Moses anymore. Like he went to Abraham and he spoke directly to, he spoke to Moses through the burning bush. God speaks to us through his word. And he told Timothy, Paul told Timothy, a young preacher, he said, all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training or instruction in righteousness. He says that this you need, you got to have my words. Yeah. I couldn't sleep last night I was tossing and turning. I woke up 4 o'clock this morning, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock this morning. I popped the television on, and the preacher was preaching. As soon as I turned the TV on, and he made a statement. He says his sermon was on how to stay on track. A wonderful sermon. First thing he said was, first habit you need to do is you need to daily pray and study the word of God. That's what he said. I said, my goodness, he must have been. I know God doesn't speak to us audibly. The Holy Spirit works in our lives through his word. But I believe in the providence of God. And for those of us, Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the God that standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law. And in it does he meditates on the law. The scripture says, day and for us to think that we're going to be close to God, we're going to have God's blessings on us, and we're not going to ever. We got to get into his word. Oh yes, we got technology is good when it's good, and I get a daily scripture from BibleGateway.com. You sign up for a devotion and it sends you a passage every day. And normally it sends it early in the morning from anywhere from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. If you want to get the devotion, go to BibleGateway.com. It's free. Don't cost you nothing. And sign up for the devotion. It sends you a passage every day. And so when I get up in the morning, and I'm not, this is not bragging. It's just, look, I don't know about you. I need God. I need him every day. I need him. Because see, when you start off with God, it just puts you in a whole different light. And sometimes the passage is like, it's like the Lord is saying, Gary, you're going to need this one today. Amen. And I get it in the morning. I read it every morning. Amen. And that's not my study time, but it's just God give me something. And I have always done that. And I'm just mentioning it because it's blessing my life. And so you take it if you will or may. But you know, here in our society, and I need to end in a couple of minutes. I don't know, brother. Y'all holding me back, right? Woo! Good gracious. In our Judeo-Christian background, now we have the most amazing book the world has ever known. Amen. And it's our Bibles. There's no, listen, I mean, psychology, theology, Scientology, there are some smart people in this world who've written some magnificent books, but there is no literary document that comes close to the Bible. Amen. And I know it's been challenged, it's been it in so many ways, but it has, it covers 16 centuries, the writings from Moses at Sinai, which I mentioned earlier, to John the Apostle in the book of Revelation. That's just from Genesis to Revelation. John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation chapter 1. He's on the Isle of Patmos and God gives the revelation to him. We have the Bible encompasses, and it's 66 books with the theme is united. The theme of the whole Bible is the Messiah is coming. The Messiah, the Savior is coming. And then he has arrived and he will return. That's the whole theme in the Bible. The Old Testament prophets in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He hadn't come yet, but he's coming. His name shall be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then in Galatians chapter 4, now that's his coming. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of woman, made under the law. Jesus is here. And then we get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Jesus is coming. That's the message throughout the scriptures. Amazing accuracy. See this anchor. We must believe that God is. We must believe that in his word. The amazing accuracy of the Bible. 8,000 prophetic utterances or more. They speak specifically of the events far beyond what the writer could have known. I just wish I had time to go over some of them. The prophetic utterances that have come to pass, the writers could not have known. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the prophecy. In the Old Testament that came to pass in Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Just almost identical, written thousands of years apart. Confirm the Bible. It talks about the rise and fall of nations. Evidence, Daniel chapter 2. Declarations regarding specific rulers in the Bible that live, that are in other history books. Isaiah chapter 44 and following. More than 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled by Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts and the book of Luke in the New Testament, it mentions 32 countries, 54 cities, 9 Mediterranean islands, 95 different people, 62 of which are not mentioned in any other New Testament book. 27 of these are not even believers, not even Christian, named that can be confirmed in all kinds of books. And not one mistake is made in the book of Acts. Not one error is made. Oh, I gotta stop. I gotta stop. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We can't fathom it. We can't come close to the power of God. Yeah, we can't scratch the scratch of knowing all that God knows. God knows every heart, every person, every circumstance. See, we couldn't judge. See, we said, "Well, Gary, that is a lot of evil things go on in the world." True enough, because God gave us volition. He gave us our own wills. We make our choices. And God doesn't twist our arm. God wants us to willingly come to him. Amen. But there are consequences behind evil deeds, as there are consequences behind when we do good deeds. But we serve a God who knows everything at the same time. Just a few people that's in here right now, God knows everything in our lives, what we've done. And you say, why does the bad happen? Bad happens because people do bad things. Amen. And if we tell the truth about it, we all have done bad things. And so if we really tell the truth about it, if we got what we deserve, we probably none of us would be in here right now. Amen. Somebody, well, maybe I should just speak for myself. I wouldn't be here right now. Amen. So what we need to stop saying is, well, while all this evil stuff is going on, what we need to do is obey God. Get on his good side. Amen. I'm extending an invitation right now. We had a baptism on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Sister Latasha McDaniel was baptized into Jesus Christ. Actually, the brothers at Highland Heights baptized her because they had just put chemicals in our pool and she couldn't get in this water because we didn't want her to get sick. And she went over to the Highland Heights Church of Christ, and Brother Brooks and those that helped, they baptized her, but she's placing a membership here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Amen. Even through this coronavirus, matter of fact, many individuals are seeking answers for their lives. And praise the Lord, and everybody needs to welcome her. Those of you on Facebook, write a little note. Welcome Sister McDaniel. You'll see her and know about her a little bit later on. She probably is watching right now. We love you, Sister McDaniel. God bless you. Because, see, there's a greater work that's going on right now. And if you're not trying to get close to know more about God right now, when are you going to try to do it? All right, when are you going to do it? When are you going to obey God? Let me give you an invitation this morning. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, you can't be in a right relationship without hearing and knowing that's God's way. We have to humble ourselves to hear God's word. Romans 10:17, for so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, the gospel message is called good news. It's good news because it can take us from lost to saved. You hear the word of God, you got to do more than hear it. And see, when you hear the word of God, you must believe it with all your heart. It's an act of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God. Notice this: he that comes to God, God the Father, who is in heaven, who's in control, who's the orchestrator of it all. Now, next Lord's Day, if the Lord says the same, I'm going to talk about Jesus, our Savior. Because God is the architect, but Jesus carried out God's will. Amen. You can't have one without the other. Amen. And you got to believe with all your heart. Without faith, it's impossible. He that believeth, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligence. It's not that you're going to be perfect, thank the Lord. But we got to be striving to please God. Yeah. Now you've heard God's word, you believe it with all your heart, you're still not saved. Amen. Now, some would say you already saved. All it is about is faith, Brother Gary. Well, what the Bible says, it tells us in Luke 13:3-5, I tell you, but except unless you repent. See, Jesus had to come to this world because of sin. Amen. And he came to redeem us, to reconcile us back to God, and he did it through the blood of the cross. Now, you can believe, but the Bible says the devils believe and tremble, but the devils do not obey God. This is a different message that you hear on TV sometimes. You can't sit in your seat where you are at home and say, I believe, Brother Gary, I received the Lord Jesus in my heart, and now I'm saved. Why, Brother Gary? Because that's not in the Word of God. See, God is in control, but you have to have God and his Word. Repent is a change of mind about sin. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, but you don't want to sin anymore. And after you repent of your sins in your mind, you confess with your mouth what your heart believes. Romans 10:9-10. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. That's our part. See, the part we must hear with our ears. We must believe with our heart. We repent with our heart. We confess with our mouth. And upon that confession, we are baptized in water for the forgiveness of your. Baptism is the culmination. It's not the only thing, but it is something that we must do. Amen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Oh my goodness, what a day. That maybe there's someone who needs to be baptized today. You're out there right now. You're in the city of Houston. Are you close enough that you could drive over here? The chemicals are good now. The water is perfect now. We have clothes in the back. And we'll baptize you today. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Amen. And we extend that invitation to you this morning. And we hope and pray that that anchor for your soul, that God, this unfaltering, unwavering faith in God and his word will sustain you not only today, but every day of your life. Amen. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, if you have a prayer request, I know many of you have listened to prayer requests on our Facebook page, on our live stream page, in our emails. We'll pray, Brother Washington will pray for you in the end. But if you need to come and be baptized, you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation. May God bless you.
My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning to late at night, my only hope is you. And my only hope is you. My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning to late at night, my only hope is you. And my only peace is you. My only peace is you, Jesus. My only peace is you. Oh, from early in the morning to late at night, my only peace is you. And my only joy is you. My only joy is you, Jesus. My only joy is you. From early in the morning to late at night, my only joy is you.
Amen.
The table is now set for the disciples of Jesus to commune with God and with one another. Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me. The Bible tells us in Acts, the 20th chapter and verse 7, that it was on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. We find one example of communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us now give thanks for the bread. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, bow before you, Father, giving you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, Father. Amen. We thank you for that great sacrifice, for dying for our sins. So we have come in obedience on the first day of the week to commune with you and with one another. We pray that you would bless this bread. And as we partake of it, we pray that we all will remember Jesus' broken body crucified on the cross for our sins. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may now take the bread.
Amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us now give thanks for the cup. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you, Father, stretched out, worshiping your holy, holy name. We pray, Father, that you would bless the cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents our Lord and Savior's shedded blood on the cross for our sins. We love you, Father. We thank you, Father, for all you've done for us. It is in Jesus' name.